All right, so this week on the Arizona Media Podcast, we have Craig Fooey, longtime sports director at ABC 15, man about town, well-known, well-respected, and he shouldn't even be here. This is why. I will let Craig tell the story. 3 weeks ago now,
Brad, I'm walking on my treadmill, and you know some of my history. I've had a couple hips replaced. I've had knee surgeries, back surgeries, so I'm a walker. I get on a treadmill at home. I watch ESPN. I walk. So 3 weeks ago on Martin Luther King Day, I'm walking on my treadmill. I'm 81 minutes into my walk, and boom, my heart starts pounding out of my chest. I can't breathe. For the first time ever, I have to shut my treadmill off. I've never had that happen in my entire life.
You're so by yourself?
I'm by myself. My wife's out to lunch with friends.
Okay.
And so I'm upstairs watching ESPN, and all of a sudden I get this, I can't breathe, I gotta shut the machine off. And my left wrist hurt like I had broken it. Now I'm walking on a treadmill, so I didn't fall. Nothing knocked me to the floor. There's no, you know, there's no chalk lines on the carpet upstairs where I fell.
Randy Johnson.
Exactly, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
So I get off. It takes me about 10, 15 minutes to calm my heart down to start breathing again. And all the while I'm thinking, was this a heart attack? Is this just exercise? I'm coming off a cold. Is this a bronchitis? What is it? I get my breath back. I get back on the treadmill.
Oh.
I do it again. I have 5 minutes on the treadmill and boom, it happens again. Same thing. Second heart attack. So I get off the treadmill, takes me another 15 minutes to calm down. In the meantime, my wife has come home. She comes up, I'm wringing wet, I'm breathing heavy. She says, "You okay?" I said, "Yeah, I just had a strange experience. I don't know what happened, but my chest is just pounding. I can't breathe. My left wrist hurts like I broke it." She goes, "Oh my gosh, you think you had a heart attack?" I said, no, it can't be me. I work out every day.
Yeah, you look great.
I'm in shape. My cholesterol's 130, my blood sugars are low. You know, my EKGs are, it can't be a heart attack. "I don't know," she says. I think we should go to the hospital." "No, I'm fine." I go shower. I get dressed. We go out shopping at Fry's. We go get some groceries. We come back. I make some dinner. She goes, "How are you feeling?" I said, "My left wrist still hurts. My chest is tight." I said, "I don't know. I don't think it was a heart attack." She gets on the phone and says, we're going to call a doctor. So we get on the phone with my primary care physician. He says, "You know, I think you should go to the hospital." He said, "This has never happened to you, so maybe we should go check it out." I said, "I don't know. I mean, okay, maybe let's do that." We hang up the phone. He calls back within 45 seconds. He's back on the phone. "Get your butt to the hospital because I think this is not good. This can't be good." So we go to the hospital. We check into the Chandler Regional Hospital heart patient. And sure enough, 6 hours later, they diagnose a heart attack. And you did some damage to your heart.
Two of them.
Two.
So, and you have not had any previous heart?
No, none. I mean, no indicators. And Brad, you know, when you've had surgery, every time you have a hip replaced or a knee surgery, they do blood work.
Right.
They do an EKG.
Yep.
You go see a cardiologist. They check everything. And everything's checked out perfectly. What I didn't realize at the time, family history. My father died of a heart attack. He had a couple during his life. One of my brothers has had 6 bypass surgery.
Wow.
One of my brothers has 2 stents in his heart. Grandfather passed away of heart attack. Family history. So I was predisposed to have heart issues. So I've got blockage. I had the next day, so this was Martin Luther King Day, so Tuesday night I get into surgery, and they go in and they find 95%+ blockage on the left main artery, 99% blockage on a smaller artery coming off of that, and 45% blockage on the right side.
Wow. Now, when you hear the words heart and attack.
Holy cow.
Because, you know, you're fit, you're around athletes, but we do lead, you lead, I'm not there anymore, the lifestyle of at 8 a.m., you know what you're doing at 6 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
And 10 p.m., and you also know that you're on the run all the time and that you have to be nimble, you have to be Larry Fitzgerald, you have to start this way and go
right.
This way because things will happen. Do you look at things differently now?
Absolutely. I mean, when you're laying in a hospital bed and you've got nitroglycerin going into you and you've got blood thinners going into you and you're laying there and the doctor says you've had a heart attack, 2 heart attacks, and you did damage to your heart, suddenly mortality becomes very real.
Sure.
And you think, and I remember that moment, I'm sure I'll never forget it, when my wife is just, the tears are pouring out and I'm tearing up and you're thinking, is this it? Is this all I've got? I'm 62 years old, is this, I'm done?
You don't look 62.
Well, thank you.
You look 72. No, I'm just kidding.
I know, exactly. That's what all my
that's
friends
the old line,
say.
Right?
You look older. yeah, that's amazing. But you know, you think about those things, and you think about the stress that you've been through. Because I coached football for 20 years.
Right.
Started as a high school coach, went into college, coached college football, high stress occupation. Then got into television, high stress occupation.
Bad hours, bad habits.
Terrible hours, terrible food. You know, you don't eat right. You don't, you're going all the time. You're trying to meet deadlines.
But you're Craig Fooey on television. You have no issues. It's the old line that Charles Barkley would say when I asked him once, what's the strangest thing? He said, strange thing is when I'm pumping gas and somebody comes up to me and says, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
I'm pumping gas. What are you doing?
Exactly.
You're Craig Fooey. Yeah. You have no issues. You're on television. The world is in your palm of your hand.
Sure.
No, he just had a heart attack.
Exactly.
Two of them.
Yeah. And it's shocking. And that's the thing. I told someone yesterday, Brad, it's as much psychological and emotional as
sure.
it is physical.
Sure.
Because you're thinking, how much time do I have left? And you should see some of the emails I get from people. You know, glad you're alive, but let me tell you what happens next. You know, you're going to have another heart attack. You're going to it's unbelievable.
Come on.
It's like I told my wife, it's like women when someone's pregnant, they want to tell you the terrible labor stories.
Yeah.
And let me tell you about my story. And so you're reading these emails and text messages, you're going, I got more heart attacks coming. I got open heart surgery coming. What, you know?
So what do they tell you?
They put one stent in, did an angioplasty, which they couldn't get a stent in the smaller artery because of its size and because of where it was. So they did an angioplasty, which means they just put a balloon in and blow up the plaque to the outer walls of the artery. I'm on a blood thinner for life. I'm on a statin for life. Mm. I'm on a baby aspirin a day. I was on blood pressure medicine for a while, but my blood pressure is great, so they took me off that just a couple weeks. Changed the diet dramatically.
What can't you eat anymore? What is gone?
You know what? The cardiovascular surgeon said processed white sugar is the killing of America. Mm. So he said sweets, stay away from desserts and sweets and anything with sugar, you know, white sugar in it, processed sugar. Watch the sodium intake and watch the carbs. So, you know, it's eat chicken and fish and vegetables and fruits and you know, the things that we all know. Right, and occasionally you can have a small cookie or something, but you know, stay away from that as a diet.
Bruce Cooper went through it.
He did.
Have you spoke to Bruce?
Absolutely.
So you two are in
a club.
We're in a club, right? You guys now have your own little
that's
club.
Right, that's right.
But I'm curious how that conversation went.
You know, Bruce was one of the first guys to reach out, and he was so genuine, and obviously he went through much more severe situation where they say he died two or three times,
right.
You know.
With his daughter there on the steps moving her into her apartment.
But he was just so good about reaching out and just saying, hey, listen, whatever you need, I'm here. As a matter of fact, Jude LaCava, Bruce Cooper, you know, all the guys in town, Derek Hall reached out right away. I mean, when you're in that hospital bed and you're not knowing if you're going to have open heart surgery, if you're going to just get a stent, you don't know. And all these guys are reaching out to you. Because the word got out so fast. Mm-hmm. It's really humbling.
Here's the thing about Craig that we're gonna get to a little bit later. He's adding to his plate of workload. So, and it's gonna be on the radio side. We're gonna get to that in a little bit, but I'm just wondering your workload now, the process of your day, because you're somebody who's had the hair on fire for 25 years.
Yeah.
It's 25 years?
I'm 19 years 19 now years. ABC 15. Yeah.
So a long time you've gone through this day in, day out. You know the yearly calendar. When it's Cardinal season, it really ramps up. What are you going to change?
Well, you know, right now, I mean, it's, and you know this, Brad, having spent a long time in television too and radio, the staff sizes are so much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
When I started 19 years ago, we had an editor, we had a producer.
It was Tom, your staff then, what were the names?
Yeah,
the names
oh my gosh, way back then it was, when I started, so many names of people that have come and gone over the years,
right,
you know?
Right.
Earl Grey was with me for a while
sure.
as a producer.
Sure. Tom Zenner was there.
Tom Zenner was there for a while. Shannon Richards was there. Corey Williams, Jeff Heisner.
That's right.
So many guys that have come and gone over the years. But, you know, we had 5-6 people on the staff. Now we have 2. And so I now shoot, I edit, I produce, I write, I build graphics.
Mm-hmm.
And you anchor and report, and you go get the sound. So your day is now much more intense than it used to be. The days of a sports anchor walking out at the desk, you know, and reading his copy and walking away and going having a 2-hour dinner, never existed for me.
That's not happening.
No, never existed. So it's now a very busy day. But what I'm doing is, since the heart attack, I just got back to work Monday, so I've only been back to work 3-4 days. Perspective. Can't do everything. You know, you have to pick and choose now what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and how intense that's going to be. And it's going to be a change.
So when there is that day of a Larry Fitzgerald saying that he is going to come back, or something of that major of a story, and it happens at 4:55, and you have no help, how are you going to handle that? Because you're very, I'm not going to use the word prideful.
No,
That could be termed as a negative. It's a positive.
Well,
you're prideful. You want
to
make sure that you walk in there at 5:01 and say, hey, this is happening, or it moved me into the A block.
Yeah.
I need video. We've got to get, how are you going to handle that?
It's tough. It is tough. And now you're, because of this, Brad, because of the time, because of the staffing, you're going to rely on social media. You're going to go out on the desk and you're going to say, I've got some archive video of Larry, and here's what's going on in social media. Mm-hmm. This is what Larry tweeted. This is what whoever tweeted. And this is what he said. Great news tonight. We don't have it direct from Larry because, you know, I'm not going to say that, but because we don't have the staff. But you're going to say, this is what's going on. And social media is such a great opportunity for us now.
What is the biggest pressure of being a local sportscaster today versus when you first got in?
The demands of the job. The biggest pressure is Twitter, Facebook, web, Instagram. Stay up on, you know, everything all the time. When I started, and you know this because you've been around such a long time too, is we were getting faxes. Remember the day of faxes? Yeah, exactly.
Press conference, you know.
Yeah, the fax would come in, right?
Right?
And now it's instantaneous. I mean, the news happens so fast. We're getting it from players via Twitter. We're getting it on Facebook. We're getting it on Instagram. And so the demands of staying up on all that 24 hours a day.
And you have to determine whether it's fake news.
Right.
What I found myself doing is, who's the person that sent this out? So you look at this person, and I may not know this person, but I know that this person throws a lot of opinion, which is not fact.
Right.
So, and then you'll have a producer, I would assume, come down the hall and say, hey, this is trending. Well, it doesn't mean it's true.
No, that's correct.
Doesn't mean it's true. Well, this person, and this person chases clicks. That's what they do. They chase clicks, mm-hmm. and it's their opinion. So we are not going to use this because I don't trust this.
Right.
So I think the fact-checking stage, for better, for worse, and I think it's for worse, has gone out the window somewhat. Would you agree on that?
Oh yeah, look at the Carson Palmer who has his house up for sale just last week, and he's pulled his kids out of school and they're gone. Look at that story, how that blew up from a local guy who threw it on air. And all of a sudden it was all over the country, and it was the next day his house isn't up for sale. He does this every year. He goes on vacation with his kids. They have another house in California. He's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
those things happen so fast that we all jump on it. It wasn't true.
And you have someone come down the hall and say, Jude is reporting, right?
Absolutely.
Or Tim Ring is reporting, or Mark McClune is reporting, or Bruce Cooper is reporting. And you have to have that trust factor of, if I'm not reporting it,
yep.
then you've got to trust me in here, guys.
Oh, yeah.
So have you had those conversations with producers?
Oh, absolutely. And that happens all the time. I mean, look at when Bruce Arians was hired. You know, it was like, oh my gosh, it was how many different names were thrown right, before Bruce Arians. We didn't even hear Bruce Arians.
Be right, not first.
Correct.
But instead, it's be first, not right.
There's such a pressure to be first. There's such a pressure to break something.
And
you know what? I honestly, and I've said this a million times, I don't think viewers care or listeners care who's first. I think they care about your personality. Are you trustworthy? Do I believe what you're saying?
Right.
And I don't think it matters to anybody, because we sit in a TV station with seven TVs going, right? We've got Channel 3, Channel 5, Channel 10, Channel 12, Channel 15, ESPN, CNN. We watch them all. Viewers don't do that.
Yeah.
They have one TV on. So they don't care if Tim Ring was first, or Jude LaCava was first, or Bruce Cooper was first, or Fooey was first. It doesn't matter to them. Is it right? Is it factual?
They don't even care if they're wrong, though, either.
That's true, too.
Which is the flip side of it now is, you know, being on this side now for me is, I know where you guys are going, So when I see something big and I see what's going on, it's, wow, he's really up against it. He's got Jason Snavely,
right,
who was an intern back in the day,
yes,
and does a great job. And that's all. That's it.
That's it.
So, you know, when the Suns are not good again, okay,
right,
when I have to go sit behind my microphone and say it's been May 29th, 2010, that was the last day of a playoff game in Phoenix, Arizona,
yeah,
and we know how great that once proud brand was, and now it's just been torn to the ground. I'm curious, do you get blowback? Because you do Fooey on Sports, which is going to lead into your radio bit.
Yep.
You are one of the few that will take shots.
I do.
And that's not to speak, you know, Jude will take his shots, but I don't see as much shot taking or calling it as is as there used to be because of the fear of I'm not going to get the interview. The organization is going to freeze me out. We have to chase clicks. So I'm curious from that standpoint of a local sportscaster of calling the shot and holding these teams accountable. How does that work for you, the process?
It's been tough. I did one last night, Brad, about Michael Floyd. And I just said, you know, you saw the tweet, you know,
yep,
people are mad at me, 180, I got a trophy, you know. And I just said, you know what, Michael, congratulations. We're happy for you that you got a trophy. We're happy that you're not on our team anymore. And we're happy that you're likely going to jail.
Yeah.
And I got so much blowback across the web, across Facebook,
yeah,
and Twitter. But you know what? That's what it's all about. It's like you have to share your thoughts. And you know what? If Michael Floyd is not happy with me over that, so be it.
Tough.
I've run into issues with different teams over the years because I share my opinion. And, you know, overall, I think people understand that it's my job. You know, I'm not doing it to be mean. I'm doing it because it's my job. I'm called on to give my perspective and my commentary, and I'm going to do that. And right or wrong, it's my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this forever. I can do highlights till the cows come home. And how many slam dunks have you seen? How many home runs have you seen? It's just ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm.
I never get a comment from a viewer. But when I do a commentary, the phones light up, the emails come in,
mm-hmm,
the Twitter page starts firing up, the Facebook page starts firing up, because it strikes a nerve.
Mm-hmm.
People either agree with me, they can't stand me. I had a guy last night, I did the Michael Floyd commentary, and he said, "Foo, you're drunk. I mean, you know, get off here. You know, you should be fired."
No, I had a heart attack. I'm not drunk. Get it right.
Exactly.
Come on.
Yeah, come on. But, you know, and that's what I love about it, because it's sort of like people, sports is emotional.
Sure.
It's emotional. And it's not just facts and figures. And I love fantasy football, guys. I don't do it, but, you know, it's all about facts. It's all about stats and,
mm-hmm,
and metrics. And I think sports is emotional. It's about being a fan. And
who presently is a better way to put it? Who presently are you not on good graces with? Is there a team in town?
No, I mean, I think everybody gets along. I think I'm pretty much in good shape with most of the teams. I don't take pot shots, you know. I try not to.
When you get the phone call, though.
Yeah.
When you get the phone call, is there one you can share that you went through the last year, 5 years, 10 years?
A few years ago, I had one with the Cardinals where I talked specifically about some issues going on and how they just weren't good. It was before the Ken Whisenhunt era, so this is going back a
sure,
long
Denny's
time.
Sure, Denny's era.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
And
which was fair.
Yeah, it was fair. And I had requested an interview with Rod Graves for our Sunday night show. And I got an email from the Cardinals saying, "We politely decline your request for an interview with Rod Graves." And it had attached my commentary to the email. So, but that was way back when, you know, that's all water under the bridge now. But, you know, that happened, you know, it was legit. It's like, no, we're not going to give you Rod Graves because you said these things. And, you know, my thing is grow some skin, get thick skin. You know, you're in a sports business where fans have opinions and fans root for you. They buy tickets, they mm-hmm. watch on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So have some thin skin. It's the LeBron, Charles Barkley issue.
Yeah.
Have some thick skin, LeBron.
You know? Oh, but you're hating. You're just a hater.
No, I love the way Charles handled it. I thought
yep.
Charles was very mature with it. I thought LeBron was very immature with it.
Yeah.
But to me, if you're an athlete and you're on a pedestal and you're considered the greatest in the world, have some thick skin. Same with me.
Well, but you're in this space where Channel 15 is the preseason home of the Cardinals.
Absolutely.
So if there is something that is controversial that comes up, I've not seen you shy away from it.
No.
You know where the line is. from a process standpoint, if you can give the viewer an idea of when you have something that comes up that you know the team's not going to be happy with, that team in particular, because right. you're a rights holder,
yep.
how do you go about determining how far you go?
You know, I try not to worry about rights. I try not to worry about being the preseason. I think if there's something glaring, it's the elephant in the room.
Everybody knows.
Everybody Correct. Knows. Correct. And how do you not talk about it? I'll give you an example. Larry Fitzgerald, his final press conference at the end of the season, right? It's the last game. Larry's in the locker room sitting down as he does now. The media hordes are around him, 20 deep. And he wraps it up with, you know, if this was my last game, you guys have been really soft. You guys are really soft as a media group here in Phoenix. He says, we just went through one of the most amazing presidential elections of our era of all time, and you guys didn't ask me one question about it. He goes, I have children here in town. You guys don't ask me one question about my family. I said, he went on about how soft we are, and he's right. We always want the positive, right? We probably should be hired by the teams because we're a PR extension of the PR department, right?
Which they like.
Which they love.
Yeah.
So when you challenge the process a little bit, it's like, oh, somebody's being a little bit tougher on us, which I think is okay. And I think that's with social media. Isn't that where social media is?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at this election. I mean, it was love, hate. It still is love, hate. That's what social media is about, and I think TV can be about that.
Didn't you dabble at one time in being an anchor?
I did. I was a morning news anchor for about a year and a half, 2 years.
Did you like
back
it?
Back in the day. I enjoyed it, but I felt like it didn't give me the freedom to be who I wanted to be. You know, it's sort of like you're reading news on a teleprompter, you're trying to be impartial and biased, and I've got strong feelings. I joke with the station all the time, you should let me do Fooey on Politics.
Fooey Unplugged, there's nothing wrong
with
that.
Yeah, let's do it. You know, they're like, no, I don't think we'll do that.
What do you see doing on a TV end for 5 years, 10 years? How much longer do you want to do this? There are guys that do it till the day they check out.
I joked with them last fall. This is pre-heart attack and getting into the spring, but I joked with them, but they said, oh, fool, you're just buying your time till retirement. I said, no, I'm going to pull a Dave Muncy on you. I'm going to be here until I'm 90.
But there are those people that we look at. You know, I grew up in San Diego, and Ted Leitner is still doing it.
Yep.
He's not doing TV, but he's still doing it. I would watch the LA stations as a kid, and Jim Hill is still doing it. And Jim's doing it 7 days a week still, which is crazy. Never takes a day off.
Yeah.
There's writers like Sid Hartman in Minnesota. There's guys that are in their 90s. Edwin Pope just passed away in Miami.
Yeah.
That we do this until until we die. We do this.
Yeah.
So it's not, I've had people ask me, are you going to ever retire? No, heck no.
I don't plan on it.
I mean, we've already retired doing this. We have a parking space. Most of you do not. We have a nice media meal. Most of you have to stand in line and pay a lot of money for that media meal. We get to go stand in front of players or watch things. So is it really, when I see guys in the middle of summer swinging a hammer on a roof at 4 in the afternoon,
totally agree with you.
And I got yelled at by somebody at a team?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, who cares?
When all is said and done, you love what you do. And
and
Brett, I've been extremely fortunate to have coached football for 20 years and now done television for close to 20 years. It's incredible. I mean, incredibly blessed to be able to do things that you absolutely love. And I wish I would have stayed in coaching because I'd probably be making a couple million dollars.
Yeah, you're right.
I was a head college football coach back in the day and made $35,000 a year. You know, now you're like, wow, I could have made lots more money.
Lots more money.
I tell people it's the way I buy and sell houses. Buy high, sell low. You know, leave coaching when salaries are skyrocketing, join TV when salaries are
declining.
Yeah, but it's you love what you do and it's not work.
Do you anticipate changing your work schedule, your workload?
I will. And I had a long conversation with my general manager.
Anita
helped.
She's great.
On Monday was awesome. And she's been awesome throughout the 3 weeks since the heart attack. But she just said, don't push yourself. We're with you. Don't do anything you shouldn't be doing. Don't work more than 8 hours. Which I was like, wow, that's incredible. Because we're salaried, you know. It's like, I've never worked an 8-hour day. So you have no concept in my brain what 8-hour day is, because you're, as you said earlier, we're getting up at 8 to go to the press conference or go to practice, and we're there at 10 o'clock at night. So what's an 8-hour day?
Or Michael Floyd will do something at 1 in the morning and
yes,
you know, your day gets turned upside down
yeah,
at 5:30
in the
morning.
They're calling you at 5:30 in the morning going, what do you know about Michael Floyd? Yeah. And it's like, I just woke up.
All right, so with all that as the backdrop, now Craig is going to add to his plate. So you're going to start doing a radio show on 1580 AM.
Yep.
And it will also be over on the FM side.
It is.
And that's going to start when?
Monday.
And you will be, your shift will be?
9 to 10. So I've got an hour show from 9 to 10, Monday through Friday.
And your show will be called?
Fooey on the Fanatic.
Fooey on the Fanatic. That is the name of the station,
yep,
the Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
And what will this show sound like, look like? What do you want it to be?
You know what? It's fun because I don't have a lot of, you have a lot of radio background. I don't. And so I did some Cardinals radio back in the day, the pregame, postgame, halftime show. I've done some college football radio, but never had a radio show per se that I got to control. And I've really been evaluating since I started meeting with the guys back in November when this whole thing was kind of coming into fruition and they hoped it would happen and didn't know when. And you talked to them, I know. And it just sounded fun to me because it's an opportunity for me to not have a minute 20 on television.
Correct.
But an hour to fill and to talk. I'm hoping to do something a little different. I've been looking at it for 2 months now. It seems like radio is sort of canned, right? It's like the same thing over and over again. Every 20 minutes, you're going to get a sports update about last night's scores, about an injury update, about a game time tonight, who's tipping off against who. And every 20 minutes, you're going to get a quick weather report or a traffic report. And every 8 minutes, you're going to get a five-minute block of commercials. And so I'm hoping that... And I don't know how it'll look Monday, but I'm hoping that as we progress through it, we change the dynamic of that hour, that it's not the same canned routine show on radio, that maybe we go longer. Maybe we have a debate for a couple minutes. You know, maybe we change the way that looks in that hour where it's more content driven, social media driven. I'm hoping to at some point do a Facebook Live during the hour too.
Great.
So people can contact me on Facebook when they're home, not driving.
Right.
But Twitter, have Twitter available, email. I want it to be something a little different than just, I want it to be commentary. You know, I want it to be emotion driven, not fact driven.
Or are you going to open up about personally what you just went through?
I think I will.
I think have to, don't you?
I do, and I did it on Facebook a week after the heart attack. My wife was, because, you know, word gets out so fast, and once you call a couple people and tell them, and the word gets out. And so my wife encouraged me to write a post on Facebook, and I did, and it reached a ton of people. And the message was, you can be in great shape. You can work out all the time. You may not have the classic symptoms of a heart attack. With me, it was my left wrist hurt. You know, it wasn't the left arm numbing. And like I said earlier, jokingly, there was no chalk lines on the floor. It didn't take me to my knee. It can be about heredity. It can be about your diet. And I think if I can share that with enough people to where people go, hey, I'm going to stop eating junk food. I'm going to stop drinking that soda pop five times a day. I'm going to stop getting that big gulp, you know. No offense to advertisers or 7-Eleven or anybody, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, cut down on the processed sugar and cut down on what I'm doing and maybe walk around the block, you know, once a day. Then it's worth it. I think I'm here for a reason. The doctor said if I wouldn't have been working out, I wouldn't be here today. So it was the workout that caused the heart attack, but it was the workouts that saved my life, that I had enough blood flow through my heart to save my life. And so, ironically, I have a heart attack during workout, but it's the workouts that saved my life. So if I can just share that with people, you know, that maybe somebody gets a message. And I've already gotten so many great notes on Facebook and emails and text messages about thank you for sharing your message. I'm going to go get checked. I've had people at work. Hey, Fooey, I'm going to walk around the block tonight. Hey, Fooey, I'm going to go run today because of you. Hey, Fooey, I'm having a salad tonight.
Good.
In honor. So, you know, those are encouraging things.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
No, thank you, Brad. It's been fun.
Good luck on the new show.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
Craig Fooey, this week's Arizona Media Podcast.